This is Dale Gentry reminding you that you are listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Sunday Watch, and here is your host, Michael Schonborn.
Yeah, welcome to BPN Radio. Welcome to another session here in Christian Basics, and the big question we are looking at today, and it's part two in our program, which is who and what is man? Who and what is man? That's what we're asking today. Let me give you some time to dwell on this question, and it may be obvious to you, but if I ask you, what is man? What's the difference between man and animals? The difference between man and plants? And there might be a lot of ideas which come up, but we need to ask the question, what is man? Who are we? Who are we? What are we here for? And what is our identity? It's a big question. I think very often we don't understand who we are, what our purpose is, the way we are made, the way we are designed. Because there's so many voices telling us different stories. And we're going to look at some of those today in this presentation, where people try to tell us all sorts of strange and weird stories about who we are. And obviously we are talking about Christian Basics. It's part of our Christian Basics program and our series. And we're going to look at it from a biblical point of view. What does the Bible say who we are? What does the world say as well? It's important to understand. But also, what does the Bible say who we are? Today we're going to look at one aspect, and that is male and female, he created them. What does it mean? Male and female. Male and female. I'm sure if you happen to be a woman, your definition of male and female is going to be very different to being a man. If you're a man, your definition for male and female is very different as well. And I think one thing you would, doesn't matter who you are and from which spectrum you come from, that there certainly is a difference between being male and female. And that is because that's the way we were created. Okay, let's look at this question. We've got ladies and we've got gents. And some people today, and we're going to, as I mentioned before, I look a little bit at a secular view. And some people today, they want to make us believe that it's not quite as simple. There's not just one gender, but there's many. It's not just one sex, but there are many sex. And it's something, again, last week I was talking about, you know, are we created? Are we not created? You know, are we created or are we just a product of chance? That is what the Darwinists try to tell us, the evolutionists, that creation is not possible because, you know, that's just fantastic. You know, if one guy comes along and creates somebody from a bit of dust. And yet, about 150 years ago, doesn't really matter who you were talking to, whether you were talking to the most wicked person on the planet or to the most pious and good person on the planet. Everybody, from high to low, from good to bad, would know that our origin is in God and our destiny is in God too. About 20 years ago, If I would ask you the question and say, how would you define mankind? And what is man? What is humanity? How can you sort of define it? And if I said, or if somebody said, you know, the definition is there is male and there is female, nobody would have said the slightest thing. Everybody would have pretty much agreed with that. Yes, there's male and there is female. That's the way it is. That's the way we find it in nature. That's the way biology tells us. Everything is organized within humanity. 20 years down the line, it's quite not so straight a story. There are some people who come along and say, oh, hey, wait, you can't say it like that, because there are some blokes who are biologically male, but they run around as female. Or there are some females who are biologically female, but they run around as males. So suddenly we've got two new genders. We've got the biologic male yet female, or biologic female yet male. Then people come across and they say, oh, there are lots of other sexes as well, you know, some homosexual, so they have got an attraction to a different sex, and that's perfectly okay these days, and we need to encourage it and all the rest of it. And so they've got like another gender, and so it goes on and on and on. And what we find is some people they've come across, and I couldn't believe it when I saw this, and I initially thought this is a joke, and that there are 63 genders. 63, it really is. I thought this is an absolute joke. You know, 20 years ago, two genders, male and female. And given there is some abnormality, there were some people who suffered a chromosomal malfunction where some of the chromosomes did not split right. And they had male as well as some female characteristics. Or something else. We're going to look at that in a minute as well. But it's important to understand what the world is telling us. And we need to go back to what the Bible is telling us and see in that. And I, in my research, I stumbled over a few things which I thought are quite interesting. Medical facts, which from, you know, certain parts of society, and I'm talking about the LGBT groupings, what they try to tell us that it's not true. Simply not true. So facts are twisted to try and fit their argument, to make them fit their argument. But anyway, we're going to look at this later, and it might be worthwhile to listen to that. It's important as well as Christians to understand who we are, to have an identity, to know what God has made us into, what our purpose in life is, and what part of our nature we should encourage in ourselves and in our kids and in the people around us, and what part we should discourage. Okay, let's stay tuned. Probably a very difficult presentation. Naturally, I don't want to upset anybody, but inevitably, I will upset people. And maybe you are one of those who are likely in one of the groupings I'm going to upset here. Before I go any further, I just want to say a thing. You know, God loves you. I don't care who you are, you know, whether you are homosexual or transgender or neutral gender or degenderized or whatever, yeah? God loves you. He doesn't care about the confusion in this world. He cares about you. And he wants you to come to him. And if I, Michael, yeah, come to you and I tell you, you know, this is what I see in the Word of God and this is what it should be, it's meaningless unless you hear it from God yourself. Now, the good news is, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. There's somebody who's died for your sin. There's somebody who has gone the extra mile. There's somebody who's taken the punishment you and I deserve. And don't get me wrong, I'm not the slightest bit better than you. Not the slightest bit better than you. I've got problems maybe in other areas of my life where I don't walk according to the work of God. I know that, and they are there. But I'm giving them over. I'm trying to give them over to God. And I find my sins covered by the blood of Christ. And I aim to lifestyle of repentance, which means turning away from that which is not from God and turning towards the things which are from God. That's what I'm trying. I'm not good at it, but I know by the grace of God I can stand, and I know by the power of God I can overcome. And I know you can do the same thing. You can overcome by the power of God, and by the grace of God you can stand. By the grace of God, you can be forgiven. By the grace of God, your sins are covered. It's important that you recognize, you know, that's not right, and that's not right before God. But most importantly is that you seek God, regardless of who you are and what you are. It doesn't matter who and what you are. It doesn't matter which group you belong to. Doesn't matter whether you are the worst anti-Christian around. Doesn't matter, because he still loves you. He still loves you. Even though you hate what we stand for, you hate what, you know, the talk is all about, God loves you. He loves you. More than you can ever imagine. And please bear this in mind as I go through this talk, and I'm gonna stampede, I'm gonna tread on some feet. And this is not to make you feel uncomfortable, it is not to make you feel horrible, but it's just to present the Word of God, to present the standard God has provided for us in our lives, and the standard we should follow, the identity He has given us, the way He has created us. And it's very, very important to understand this. And it's very different from the way the world, this educational system, humanism, liberalism, progressive, so-called progressive people, what they are telling you in their fascist mentality, where everything they say is okay, everything which they consider to be regressive, they're totally intolerant and persecute. Anyway, let's carry on. I've got a list here. And again, you have to understand, it's I'm doing two things here. I'm recording for a radio program, and I'm recording for YouTube as well. So I'm going to quickly explain to you what I can see on the screen, and that's not to patronize you. So if you're watching via YouTube or via some other outlet, this is not to patronize you. It's just for the radio viewers, and the radio viewers, please bear with me, or radio listeners, not viewers. I mean, you can see your radio, but you can't see much that's going on in there. What I've got in front of me is just, you know, the sign for male and female, you know, a little circle with a cross, a little circle with the arrow pointing right side up. And there are now circles with a lot of other symbols, yeah. So there's one circle for where you've got the cross and the arrow pointing up, and it's the androgyne. This is somebody who wants to be male as well as female. You know, it's a little bit in between, you know, neither here nor there. You've got the intergender. We've got the genderlessness. You know, people who don't want to be either. They don't want to be male or female. We've got a third gender, whatever that is. We've got bigender. We have got gender fluid, you know, a little bit of everything here and there, and so on, so on. 63. Okay, I'm just going to go to the next slide. I don't want to spend too much time on here. And you can see the listing of all the different genders, you know. And the way they define it is the sexuality, you know, what they're attracted to, and where they are, and, you know, where they are a little bit of both or nothing at all, and so on, so on. 63, that's the listing. And it sounds like it's genuine that some people actually have come up with this list, and they really think that this is correct, and the correct way, the politically correct way of describing mankind. So next time you're not quite sure what you are, you have to get this list and check one box off the 63. I think it's a joke. I think it's a joke. Anyway, that's what we are up against in this world. You know, people come up with this stuff and they believe to be very enlightened. They believe to fully understand everything, and that's what's feeding into our educational system. Soon you can't send our kids to school because that's the kind of poison they are fed. For thousands of years we had two genders. Now we've got 63 in the last 20 years. And that's a result of it. And they're trying to push this stuff in our school system. So when you are a kid, yeah, you have to find out whether you want to hang out with boys or you want to hang out with the girls, whether you want a girlfriend or a boyfriend. If you are a girl, whether you want a girlfriend sexually or a boyfriend, and that's all open, both is okay. So you're pushed in either direction. And it's, I think it's a problem because it's not right. It's not right. Okay, I've got a diagram here, and this is a protected characteristics. And it's interesting as well that this has gone into law now. And so gender reassignment, so if a man decides to become a woman or vice versa, that's okay now, that's protected by law. Sexual orientation, protected by law. Lots of other stuff as well, which I'm sure is good, you know. What you believe, they can't throw you out because you've got a certain belief. Race, sex, age as well, possibly, but gender reassignment, sexual orientation and all that is recognized in law. And they make a big fuss about it. What do I think about it? So-so. I can understand where they're coming from. Why does it have to be in law? Why shouldn't employers be free to employ who they believe is going to be most suitable for the job, regardless of any of these characteristics? And so if you get a box standard person, you know, no problem. It probably doesn't fit in any of the characteristics. But if you get somebody who is queer or has had a gender reassignment, you have to be very careful whether not to give them the job. Because they might decide that the reason why you haven't given them the job is because of one of the characteristics, and they take you to court. And I find it's very paralyzing. Employers should be free to employ who they deem best for the job. Circular concept of gender. And again, 20 years ago, we would have never needed to talk about this because everybody from 5 years old would understand there's a difference between boys and girls. I understood at 5 years that girls are quite horrible. They play with dolls, and I hated to see dolls. I couldn't stand them. They freaked me out. Girls, they play with other strange things I couldn't relate to. I was playing with my mates with cars, and we were throwing things about and things like that. So very, very different. But I knew there was a difference as a five-year-old. And that the world was split up in male and female. No problem. No 63 genders. Now the world tells you, you know, this is modern political correctness, yeah. That gender is a choice and is not determined for you. Gender is a choice? I tend to disagree. Vehemently. There are very few exceptions, and the exceptions are between 1 in 1,000 for males and about 1 in 5,000 for women. And we're going to look at what I'm talking about when we look at the biological concept and the biological scenario we're dealing with. But gender is not a choice. You are born, and you are born a man or you are born a woman. You cannot choose it. You cannot change it. It doesn't matter what you do in your body. You will either have an XY chromosome, or you will have an XX chromosome. If you've got an XX, you're a woman. If you've got an XY, you're going to be a boy. Again, few exceptions. But you can't change it. You can't change that thing. You may be able to change the outward appearance a bit, but your body is always going to gravitate either to being female or to being male. And this is, I think, where the world is going wrong. You know? The problem is not the body. You know, people say, oh, it's a woman trapped in a man's body, or vice versa. The problem is not the body. The problem is the mind. Because the body very clearly states what it is. The mind doesn't. The mind is confused. And what I find very disturbing is that it's almost like an industrial industry. If somebody comes, you know, to a doctor and he says, oh, I don't know, you know, I don't feel well, I want to commit suicide because I think I'm a woman in a man's body, or I'm a man in a woman's body. The answer, very often, they give these people is gender reassignment, rather than finding out what's going on in their minds, trying to sort their minds out. It's quite interesting, you know, the way it's all been twisted around, turned around. Gender fluidity. You know, that you're a little bit of both or neither or whatever, you move from one gender to the other, that's encouraged, seemingly, these days. I find it very disturbing, to say the least. And it's very clear, because you're either one or the other. You're not in between. There is no in between. Actually, it's quite interesting as well, and we're going to look at the biological facts in a minute. There really is no in between. Even where things have gone wrong with the chromosomes, it's always gravitates either to one side or the other. There are no more clear definitions about gender. It's a big problem. You know, there used to be very clear role models. It used to be very clear what it meant to be a man. It used to be very clear what it meant to be a woman. And it's all gone. It's gone overboard. Gender not to define behavior. Yeah. So again, that's a secular concept. If you are a man, you shouldn't necessarily behave like a man, but you should be sort of deemed manned. I don't know whether it's a proper word. So if you're a woman, you should seek to do manly things. If you're a man, They encourage you to do the feminine things. Yeah. And it's all driven. It's partly driven by commerce, partly driven by other stuff. But again, to me, it's all very strange, very weird. And I don't think it's good. It's beneficial. I don't think it makes people happy. Don't think it works. Abnormality is encouraged and protected by law. Yeah, that's the other thing as well. So if somebody, you know, has got this in his mind, even though there are trillion cells in his body shouting male, but that person has in his mind that he's female, he has to go through the whole thing and transform the body into what he thinks the mind is. Not that the body will ever be transformed. He'll never be a full female. They can do what they want. They can chop bits off and stick silicon in and shape the body shape, but that person is never going to be a real female. Abnormality is encouraged and protected by law. It's strange. Degenderized, going gender neutral. There was a big thing in America, gender neutral toilets. I think a couple of storefronts or stores, they went for this option. I find it very disturbing, you know. Very, very disturbing. Okay, what's the biological reality? So let's look at that. We've got the XX and the XY chromosomes, and they pretty much define what we are. We either are one thing, or we are the other thing. But there are some exceptions. And in males, it's about 1 in 1,000. Females, about 1 to 2, 1 to 5,000. And there's some abnormality, which is that people have got an additional chromosome. So a few cases have got an XXY chromosome, but when people have this, they mostly turn out to be male. And even though there may be some indications of female tissue in the body, what I've read in the medical publications is that most people who have got a chromosomal error with the XY or XX chromosomes, they will predominantly have the tissue and the development of one sex, but there might be sort of indications of the other sex as well. So breast tissue or other tissue in the area of the genitalia. So we've got this situation that there are some abnormalities, yeah. And if it's recognized early enough, it can be treated and people can be pushed to develop further in, you know, being male if all the areas is going to be male, or if they're female, being female. What we find very often is switch the body, but full male or female functionality can never be achieved, and that's the problem as well. So people suddenly say, okay, you know, the people who have got this chromosomal abnormality, they sometimes turn them to one sex or the other, but they can never really achieve full functionality. Yeah. A man can never be a real woman, and a woman can never be a real man. Might look like one, but the anatomical possibilities are never going to be there. And it starts with the whole process of reproduction. Trillion cells in the body programmed as either male or female, and we can't get away from that. Once you remove synthetic hormones, the body will gravitate to the programmed sex. Okay, we've got two scenarios here. We've got the Klinefelter syndrome, and we've got the Turner syndrome. And you can see this on this diagram here. We've got in the male, that's Klinefelter syndrome, it's XXY in the chromosome. And most males don't realize that they've got this syndrome, and which is a problem as well, because they could treat some of it with, you know, whilst they're developing and growing up with hormones and having more normal development. But some of them are not fertile, yeah, it's a problem as well. And but most of them are clearly defined as male, so they don't have any female reproduction organs, but they have some female problems like osteoporosis, and they've got a little bit of breast development in 30% of the cases. They've got poor beard growth and not a lot of chest hair. Turner syndrome affects women. They tend to be fairly small. They've got a webbed neck. There are lots of other problems as well. And the problem there is that the X chromosome, when it splits, one half of it is lost. One half of it is lost. Again, they're born, they're perfectly able to survive. Reproductive possibilities are quite reduced. Yeah. But again, the LGBT movement tells us, oh, no, you know, they are different sex and we can chop bits and either turn them to male or turn them to female, whatever, you know, that should be justified. Most cases, from what I've read, the vast majority of cases is going to be either one or the other. There's no in between. There's no scenario where a human being has got both reproductive organs, either male, both male and female. It doesn't exist or hasn't existed with all the chromosomal problems. They're either going to be one or the other. Social reality. We've got male and female role models, and these days they're heavily distorted. Yeah. Again, one generation ago, no problem. Every boy knew what to do when he grew up and how to behave and, you know, what to aspire for and how to live. Every woman knew the same thing, but the 70s came and we had a social revolution and, you know, the standards were no longer right. And people started to pull away and create something different. You know, they just wanted to be different. And then we had feminism and all the other stuff and all men were considered to be wrong and they had to become like women and women were a lot better than men anyway. This is sort of the whole thing which came out of the whole feminist movement. And even though they might have some just causes in some areas where there were injustices, some of it was very over the edge, I would say. Yeah, when you look at the whole thing. But we find, and this is a problem, role models are heavily distorted. They're no longer clear. And kids who grow up, they no longer understand. They no longer have an identity in being a woman or growing to be a woman or growing to be a man. And again, culturally, look thousands of years ago and there were very, very clear directions for people to go. People knew what they had to do and which direction they had to go in, and this is all gone. And it can become very, very difficult for people to deal with that as they grow up and they don't know what to grow into because the identity has been totally destroyed and gotten rid of. We've got advertising where we've got this weird cliche, and I've seen this over many, many years and it's still there to some extent, of stupid male and clever woman. Yeah. I'm not suggesting that it should be the other way around or anything like that, but it's something which is there. So from a commercial, from a marketing point of view, those guys knew, okay, you know, women make most of the purchases in the house. So they were appealing to for certain products for the woman, and they always had this failing male who was making lots of mistakes and wasn't quite good, and this mini story they were presenting, and then the clever woman came along and she had this magic product and everything was okay. And that was obviously to entice the female in the house to do these purchases. Very, very strange, yeah. Strong male behavior is very often frowned upon. So if the whole misogynistic behavior, you know, a man being a man opening a door for a woman, you know, helping a woman out of the car, standing up in the train and giving his seat for a woman. All this behavior, which was, again, 20, 30 years ago, was gentleman's behavior, has been pretty much thrown over the board and is frowned upon. It's considered to be bad. Why? I don't know. And so the result, and I think what we find, is we've got a male identity crisis and women have been pushed into another identity, which is not really them. And I don't think they feel happy in there. Women are encouraged to seek out traditional masculine professions, but not just masculine professions, but also masculine behavior. And are women happy in that? I doubt it. Why should they? Yeah. Why should they? In the female world, there's some stuff which is absolutely amazing and we blokes don't understand it. To us, it's a big mystery. I can't relate to that. But I can see, you know, what it does to a woman when I look into certain aspects of the female identity which is there. Why not encourage something which is good and belongs to them? And why not encourage blokes, men, to do what they should do? You know, to get together and to celebrate the identity of being male in the same way as women should celebrate the identity of being female. But the society we live in, the Western society in particular, social structure lines between male and female are blurred. They're very, very blurred these days. They don't want clarity anymore. And I believe it's just deception which we are dealing with. It's big, deep, running deception in society. The end product is that that women are not happy. I was talking to a friend some time ago, yeah, and he was a school colleague. He wasn't a... As far as I know, he wasn't a Christian. Yeah, I mean, we were just chatting. You know, there was some school reunion, and he had a wife, and they both have been busy, you know, doing their careers, making money, you know, doing all the stuff they've been told is good to do. You know, if you're a woman, you need to do a career. You know, you need to advance. You know, move forward. And then one day they both realized that they don't really want this. Yeah. They want a family, they just want to have some kids, but by that time it was too late. She was too old, didn't work, she couldn't conceive. And it's just a very sad story, and I think it's a story which is repeated all over the place, where men don't own up to being men, and women are pushed into something they don't really want to be in. And then time flies by, and one day they recognize, you know, is this what it was? Is this what I wanted to do? And the perspective changes, but sometimes it's too late. And I think the story is there. Next one is the whole thing about homosexuality is considered and is presented to be an equal value choice. Right up to the point that gay marriage is okay these days, you know. We've had it with Obama. He told us that that's a good thing. We've had this in the West as well, and it's been introduced all over the place. And countries who reject gay marriage are threatened with sanctions, like Uganda. Uganda said, if you are gay, we're going to put you into prison. Yeah? You can be gay, but you can't practice it. We don't want you to seduce our kids. You go to prison. Russia says the same thing, and it's been very much frowned upon. And Uganda, you know, they're threatened with aid money to be withheld. And so countries like that are bullied into following the consensus. I mean, I don't need to remind you that about 50, 60 years ago, homosexual sex was illegal in the United Kingdom. You couldn't join the army if you were a practicing homosexual. Lots of other stuff as well. So that was Britain about, you know, 40. I think the army thing was still around about 20, 30 years ago. 20 years ago, I think it was still around. I'm not quite sure when they stopped it and when they opened it up. But suddenly it all changed. The paradigm has shifted. And now it's considered to be good or equal. Yeah. The tradition of family is ridiculed and discouraged through the media and liberal philosophy. And I see a lot of series where, you know, the heroes is a gay couple with a kid. And the idiots are the traditional family style where everything goes tipsy-turvy. Gay life is progressive, traditional family is regressive. So one is elevated, the other one is pulled down. And that's what Hollywood is preaching us. And we need to, as Christians, go against this, because this is not right. I mean, I heard stuff like a CEO standing for traditional values, and you got the gay agenda people rising up and asking for companies to be boycotted so that the CEO would be removed from this company because he or she was standing for traditional values. And I heard this in America, I heard similar stories in Europe, where you've got these pressure groups just coming on, and they demand tolerance, but once they are tolerated, they become heavily intolerant towards anybody else who doesn't agree with them. It's quite strange what's happening in this world. And people, you know, on the outside, you just stand, they look at this, and I feel sometimes they're just like a beetle who falls on his back and can't get back up again. Legs are up and they're all struggling, but can't get back up again, can't get back on his legs. That's what I feel sometimes. These guys are just taking over and we are just pushed into a corner. Now, I want to tell you that this is not right. There is a way, and this way is being prescribed by God. God says it's not good. This stuff is not good. And we're not going to go into the whole homosexual agenda thing. The Bible is clearly against it. The Bible says it's wrong. And if you are tied up in this lifestyle, salvation is still there for you, but there is a way out. There's a way out of this lifestyle for you. And God can come into your life and He can bring healing. And I know a lot of homosexual people are just desperate for love because it's something maybe they didn't receive when they were kids. But not enough. And that's the reason why many fall into this kind of lifestyle. But there is a love for you which is bigger than human love. And that is the love of God. Okay, is there an agenda behind this? And there might be a cynical agenda behind the whole thing. A cynical agenda behind the whole thing of promoting gay lifestyle. No, one byproduct of gay lifestyle is there's not going to be a great deal of reproduction going on. Now, we've got the, what should I call them, the globalists, the New Agers, the New World people, the New World Order people, and they've come up with a credo. And their credo is that, you know, nature is God, Darwinism is good, evolution is right, you know, the God of the Bible is, you know, just a fiction of our imagination, and they have got all the answers. And the answer they've got, we need to keep the humanity under half a billion people. Under half a billion people. Okay, at the moment we're about, I think it's about 8 billion. So that means we have to start culling people up to about 90% of the people to get under half, 94%. And obviously one way to do it is just to stop people breeding. Once they stop breeding, once they stop multiplying, then the numbers will drop down and population is going to reduce. So maybe in 100, 200 years, there'll be a reverse trend where instead of 8 billion, we'll go down. So this is what man says. You need to reduce the number of people. This is what God says. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. That's what God says in Genesis. Who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? Multiply and be fruitful and subdue the earth, or reduce the number of people, you know, start culling people or start feeding them with poison. And the poison of homosexuality being equal to heterosexuality. The poison of turning your sexuality into something which is unnatural. And again, you might say, oh, this is hate speech or whatever, but look at nature. What is natural? What is not natural? There's an order in things, and there's something which is natural. And all you need to do is just open your eyes, and even if you come from a perspective where you're not looking at God, you're not looking at any credo, at any religion or something, just look at nature, and then you understand the way it's meant to be. And that, what these guys are promoting, is not the way. Okay. The biblical view, and let's go to the Bible. What is God saying? What is God saying about the whole thing? God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Man was created in the image of God, male and female. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostril and the breath of life, and man became a living being. So it's interesting as well. He didn't do this to any of the animals which were created, but He did it to man. There's something divine inside of us. And I'm not saying you are a god. You are not. You are a sinner. Like me, I'm a sinner. But something inside of us is being left from God Himself, and that is His breath. He breathed into us. And that's the reason why you've got a God consciousness. You know that there is a God. If you ask your dog or your cat, they don't. But you do. And the Lord said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Okay, very deep mystery in this whole passage. And I'm going to try to talk a little bit about this mystery. The first mystery, which is that man is created, being created in the image of God. And when the woman was created, she was taken from man. Something was taken away from man. And God created the woman out of it. And that's what we find, is something that's programmed inside of us, that we always long for a woman. Most men, 90%, maybe 100%, they long for the other part. They long for a partner. And once we have found this partner, we forget about our parents. We forget about, you know, where we come from, and we stick to the woman, which is by our side. That's something that's inside of us. And there's another thing. There's this aspect of becoming one flesh, of becoming one. And again, flesh was separated. Something was taken away from us, and we long to be united with it again. And that is a bond, that is something which is very, very deep. Which is very, very deep. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Paul talks about this mystery in the New Testament. We're going to look at, right at the end, we're going to look at that as well. But it's a deep, deep mystery. And that is the order of things. That's the way it should be. A man shall be with his wife, with his woman. And he will leave everything behind him. And he will be united with his woman. And again, the problem is we're all sinners. And this is a perfect world. You know, God is describing before the fall of man, before sin entered into the world. And things were different then. Things were different then. Things were very different then. Today, sin comes in and, you know, stuff goes wrong. Separation, divorce, and all that happens, which is not really meant to take place, but it does take place. People do stuff which is not right. People don't treat their wives right. Wives don't treat their husbands right. Big problem. Today, we've got the problem that women try to be men and men try to be women. And then they get married and it just doesn't work. Just doesn't work. Because a man doesn't take his role as a man and the woman doesn't take her role as a woman. And they can't really become one flesh. It just doesn't work, because whatever she is, he already has. But he's looking for the thing which has been taken away from him, which he hasn't got anymore. And that is the important thing, where as men we should embrace being a man, and as a woman you should embrace being a woman and excel in it. Okay, to sum up, gender before the fall. Man was made male or female, two genders, not 63. And it's interesting as well, I was reading some Hasidic literature ages ago, many, many years ago, and there was a statement in there where they said that man is really not complete unless he's married. And they go back to the scripture and they say, man was made male and female. So man is male and female. You don't find completion unless you find your woman. If you're a woman, you don't find completion unless you find your man. It's sometimes very hard, especially if you can't find a man or if you can't find a woman. It's very, very difficult. And something is missing and we suffer. I know what it means, but I'm sure that many of you who listen, you may feel the same thing. Some of you have been married, you know what it's like to be married, and you know what it's like to be single. And if you've got a good partner, it's very, very hard to be single. If you've had a good partner, maybe you died or whatever, or she died. Completion and just in being together, and being one flesh. Adam needed a helper. That's another scripture. You know, God was looking for a helper, and there was no suitable helper found. And some women, feminists, would hit the roof when they read this scripture. But there's something suggested here, and that was that he had a need. Adam had a need in his life, and that's the reason why he needed help. There was something missing, and Eve had something to fulfill this need. Eve had something Adam didn't, and only Eve could meet this need. And I think that's a wonderful picture of what it is today, that two come together, and because of their differences, they complement one another. That's the original order. It doesn't work with homosexuality when you've got two of the same kind. You need a male and a female to meet those differences. Male and female in character, in being, in body, to meet those differences. Something was taken away from Adam, and it became Eve. Men shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. The leaving and cleaving, if this doesn't work, it's a big problem as well. If the man sticks with his mother or father, big problem. They will become one flesh and there's total unity between them. And that's something which is holy and great, and we should seek this and celebrate this and make it special. They were both naked and it was okay. There was intimacy between them. Okay, the curse of the woman. We've got the fall. We've got the fall. The devil came, deceived the woman. You know, she ate from the fruit of the knowledge, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And things went bad. And the result is that things changed rapidly after the fall. Rapidly after the fall. There was some disorder coming into this disharmonious relationship where you had these two beings who complemented one another. And one couldn't do it without the other. And a little bit, a shadow of this is still there today. Still there today. And if you're married or you've been married or if you're in love or you've been in love, you will know this. That your wife, your husband, he's got something you don't have. And you are craving for this thing. And this might be emotionally, spiritually, physically. Okay, the fall took place and the curse of God came on mankind, and God says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. But judgment, huh? But judgment. But the man didn't get away easy either. Curse of the man. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voices of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Okay, bear in mind, he talked to Adam when he read Genesis. He didn't talk to Eve about it, God. But Adam listened to Eve more than to God. But it also shows, you know, he probably knew what he was doing because he realized that Eve was in trouble. And he loved her. And he said, if she's in trouble, I want to be in trouble too, because she is my wife and I love her. And he was ready to lay down his life for his wife. And he ate from the fruit as well. It's one way of looking at what happened in the fall. But he was cursed. And God said to him, cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. So there was a curse of man which was placed onto Adam, that he needs to work. And it is bizarre, you know. A woman doesn't get kids, you know. It's very hard for her. Very, very difficult. Sooner or later in life. Because there's something inside of her, most women, where it's this desire to have children and to bring them up. A man hasn't got work. A man hasn't got something he can take pride in. You know, tilling the ground or whatever it may be. It's very hard. Unemployment is killing people. And I've seen this in Germany when there was a period where there was a great deal of unemployment. And people were really suffering. It was affecting them mentally. They were despairing, getting depressed. Okay, we're coming to the end of this presentation. And I just want to sum it up and wrap it up. But I want to ask yourself, and this is where we have come to, where we come to the whole thing of identity. Where we come to the whole concept of who are we? You know, what is human? What does it mean to be human? And I want to ask you a few questions. And let's start positive. And what makes a great woman? Just think about it. What makes a great woman? Doesn't matter whether you are a man or a woman. And it would be interesting as well if you are a couple to both of you write it down. You know, get like a bit of a brainstorming session. You get a piece of paper and you write down what makes a great woman. And I tell you that the the list the man is writing and the list the woman is writing is going to be quite different. Going to be quite different. But it should be interesting as well, because as a woman you will realize what your man sees in you and why he thinks you are a great woman. And as a man, you know, what makes a great man? The same exercise, refer to man, you will realize why your wife, why your girlfriend, why your partner thinks that you are a great man and what she values and treasures inside of you. And maybe this is a business concept of, you know, find out what you're doing good and do more of it. Find out what you're doing bad and try either to find some remedy or stop doing it. Let me sum this up, and it might just be a statement which I'm stating the obvious here, but Our progressive society is telling us that men need to be like women and women need to become like men. And let me tell you that a man makes only a very bad woman. You know, doesn't work. It just doesn't work. A man is a man, you know. A trillion cells in his body dictates, you know, a little bit of his behavior. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. Men make bad women. And women, in the same turn, they make bad men as well. So if you as a woman try to compete with a man in the man area, you know, trying to be a man, doesn't work. Don't do it. Just don't do it. And I want to encourage you to think about who you are, to work out your identity as far as gender is concerned, and to embrace what's being given to you. It's a gift. If you are a man, it's not a curse. It's a gift. If you are a woman, it's not a curse, but it's a gift. Because you've got something others haven't got. If you are a man, you've got something the woman hasn't got. And as you come together, you can help one another, you can build one another up, and you can give to one another what the other one hasn't got. You can unite and you can become one. And you can have the greatest experience in your life, the greatest adventure in your life, if you find unity between a man and a woman. So I want to encourage you to not listen to what the world is telling you, but to look at the Word of God, to look at God's standard, to look at what God has put down. Okay, let's have a look at the New Testament, and there's one image in there. Actually, there's quite a lot about, you know, how to live the Christian household and so on. And again, it's a couple of verses. Some of our feminist friends say it would hit the roof at this point, but look at the whole thing in context. And if you look at it in context, it's not that harsh what it might sound like in the beginning. Okay, let me read. It's from Ephesians. And it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." So that's the Lord Jesus. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself glorious, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The husbands ought to love their wives, their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband." Okay, interesting. And when you look at this context, you know, submit, wife, submit to your husbands. Oh, horror, you know. This day and age, this is like one of the worst things you could say to anybody. Everybody says, oh, it has to be equal, it has to be the same. But think what is said here. You know? Wives, you will have a husband, and this is the condition. Not a condition, but this is the way it should go. Who loves you so much that he will die for you. If he is called upon, he would die for you. Because he wants to protect you. He wants to look after you. He wants to make sure you are okay. He would give you the last piece of bread. He would rather have you eat the last bit of food in the house than eating it himself, because he loves you that much. How hard would it be to submit to somebody who loves you that much? He should love you as his own body. And then Paul talks about, you know, the two shall become one flesh. Great mystery. Great mystery. I totally agree. It's a great mystery. And then right at the end he says, let the wife see that she respects her husband. I don't think, it's quite interesting as well, I don't think women have got problems loving their husband. The love of a woman is very deep, and once she has placed a love on her husband, it's very, very strong. Very, very strong. Unless she's been hurt or abused or rejected or, you know, any of the other things. But normally it's very, very strong. And women don't tend to have problems in loving their family, loving their kids and loving their husbands. Men have. And hence Paul is talking about this to men. But the big problem we have is, and I think when you're married, and what you see is that the people closest to you, they know all your weaknesses. If somebody's married to you, it doesn't take him a long time to twig that you are not Superman, that you are not the hero you once were when you met. That the sun is not shining out of you. But there are many flaws, many flaws, and I know this, you know, as I'm getting older, I more and more realize all the flaws I have in my life. And she knows it. She hasn't got a problem loving you, but the problem is sometimes that the respect goes out of the window because she knows about all your weaknesses. And she knows where to press the buttons to mock you. So, wives, try and respect your husbands as they love you. And it's probably not very hard, because once you receive and you experience his love, even though your hubby is not quite the hero he once was, you can still respect him and admire him a little bit. Okay, let me pray about this. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that you have created us male and female, that you have given us an identity which is unshakable, and that your word talks about what we ought to be. I pray for all our listeners here today that you will allow us to embrace our gender, to accept what you have made us, and to be the best of what we can be. I pray for all our listeners who are struggling in one area or many areas in their lives, that they will just experience your love, your guidance, your wisdom, and your word in their lives. Speak to them right into their lives. I pray for those who are denied this privilege of experiencing this mystery of becoming one flesh, that you will open up ways, that we can find the one and the very person we belong to, and that we can explore the mystery you have awarded on mankind. Pray, help us, Lord, to love our wives as, Lord, you love your church. I pray for the women, Lord, to help, to respect their husbands, to submit where submission is good, and to embrace femininity, to be the best woman there can be in this crazy world. Pray for this in Jesus' name. Okay, I'm going to leave you on this note. I want you to today just to think about, who are you? Who are you? What has God made you? Think about how you can improve in being a man or being a woman, and how you can bless others. If you are married, think about your wife. How can you love her more? How can you love her like Christ loved his church? What can you do to love her more? If you're a woman and you're married, and think about your husband, how can you give him the feeling of being your hero? How can you admire him, even though it's difficult, because you know all his flaws, you know all the things which are wrong, all of them. But how can you make him feel that little bit special? that at night he'll go to bed and he'll say, I'm glad to be with this person. And the same with you as well. Make sure that your wife will be happy that she's married to you, that she's with you. I leave you on this note. God bless, and bye-bye from Michael here at BPN Radio. Bye-bye.